About 10 or 12 years ago, a religious book was published that attracted the attention of non-believers, even militant atheists. Entitled Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light, it described the uncertainty and discouragement that Mother Teresa felt throughout most of her religious life. It was a surprise to many that such a holy woman suffered such spiritual distress. For those lifelong Christians who at times wonder if fidelity and commitment is worth it, Mother Teresa's struggles offered hope. They were and are in good company. For the atheists who claim that she was a fraud, it became increasingly clear they just don't understand the gift of faith. Drawn from letters that she wrote to her spiritual director that she hoped would be destroyed, he knew otherwise. Mother Teresa had to have tremendous faith to be able to do what she did. As we know, serving the poorest of the poor, praying daily for 2 hours, and not letting her uncertainty and discouragement cause her to give up or lose heart. Many lifelong Catholics naively assume that the saints lived always happy lives, always in union with God, and that with the exception of the martyrs, these holy women and men were never troubled by the trials and difficulties of life. There's no question that some had lengthy periods of joy in experiencing God's presence, but struggle to know and to follow God's will was normal. Some of them had long periods of uncertainty, discouragement, even a feeling of abandonment. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Lisieux, all members of the Carmelite order. But others struggled because of the difficulties caused by those you would expect to be supportive. Jealous bishops, members as in John Baptist de la Salle, who founded the De La Salle Christian Brothers, not even allowed to enter in the house of one of the brothers. Those they turned to for support very often abandoned them. Which leads to our readings for this Sunday. The words of Habakkuk, "How long, Lord, am I to cry for help? Well, you will not listen. To cry oppression in your ear and you will not save." This is a cry of a believer who has serious questions to ask of God and whose relationship with God is strained, to say the least. Most of us can identify with these words because at some point in all of our lives, we've experienced difficulty. It may be a serious health crisis, a job loss, the death of someone we love, divorce, loss of one's good name or business, and it all affects one's relationship with God. The words of Habakkuk remind us that a relationship with God can pass through a variety of phases. In that sense, it's like our closest human relationships. Most of the time, we relate in very positive ways to those closest to us. But there are going to be times when those relationships are marked by anger and disappointment and confusion. And these emotions are not necessarily a sign that a relationship with God is merely human. In fact, the prophet's disappointment and confusion with God showed that he was very much a believer. If we experience similar feelings, it's not a sign necessarily that our faith is weakening. Which leads to our gospel from St. Luke. Those who are asking these questions of Jesus seem to be concerned about how much faith they had. And in a sense, it's a prayer that you and I should say each day, increase our faith. But notice that Jesus did not respond to the request as they might have expected. He did not say to them, "Yes, your faith is weak, I will give you more." Instead, he stressed to them the power of a faith the smallest of all, a mustard seed. The power of faith that is no bigger than that mustard seed. In other words, when it comes to faith, the issue is not one of quantity. Jesus suggests that even the tiniest level of faith is enough for God. And God can touch our lives through even the tiniest of openings that we make. The prayer of the disciples is one we find easy to identify with. From my years of teaching seniors in school and dealing with seminarians and even working with priests, some have a very clear, strong faith. It is deep, it's lived, it's shared, but many others seem to be hanging by a thread. And this is without the latest scandal or disappointment in church leadership. If Jesus takes mustard seeds seriously, he takes threads seriously also. What then can we take home and reflect upon in the days of this week? Well, in just a few words, our readings remind us that we're not the only one who experience struggle, confusion, questions, that we are very much in good company. And we are also more importantly reminded that what really matters in our relationship with God is that we remain committed, that we stay the course, that we hang in there, whatever phrase we like to do to describe fidelity. In fact, fidelity is the one gift that God asks of us. Think of the Israelites being led out into the desert from slavery and how they broke that covenant relationship. But he promised to send a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The parable of the gospel we heard is drawn from the culture in which Jesus lived. The servant did what was asked of him. He dutifully kept to his routine day after day, and he embodies faithfulness, reliability. In our relationship with God, we're simply called to do the same. At times, we may feel distant. We may think that our practice is routine, with little excitement, and we wonder if we're going through the motions. Sometimes we wonder if we're losing our faith. The parable that we heard assures us that God again values our fidelity, even when we're tempted to abandon prayer or Mass or the sacraments. God will keep us faithful if we humbly ask for help. For the greatest sin oftentimes in our lives is pride. In that same sense, then, faith is more his doing than ours. It is always a gift, and it's given to all who desire it. But it takes humility and honesty to ask, and God will never ignore us. On behalf of the Diocese of Spokane, I like in a very special way to offer my prayers and gratitude again to the members of the Catholic healthcare community, those from Providence St. Joseph system here present, our doctors and nurses and all in the medical field, as you help strengthen here in Eastern Washington a culture of life. As you know, each of you has a special role to play in the work of building up and caring for God's holy people. As physicians and nurses and all others who minister to the aged, to the infirmed, especially now to the physically and emotionally ill, you remind us that we must respect all human life. God has created it in his infinite wisdom, and he asks us to protect it. I ask that you continue to promote within your profession, your vocation, a deep respect, not just for the science of human life, but the will of our Creator as to how to approach the gift of life. I want you to know how important it is, the work you do for our church and for all of society. It is not easy to be in Catholic healthcare today, especially in the state of Washington. Many people do not like the church's position on life issues, on the dignity of the human person from the moment of conception until natural death. And we live in a utilitarian society where a person's value so often is based only upon their ability to produce, and if they don't think they're contributing anything, they're worthless. The focus is often more on possessions and things than on the supreme value of each of us created in God's image and likeness. And we live in an age that runs away from pain and suffering and doesn't understand the cross and evaluates all things as to be avoided. We very much need witnesses, especially dedicated lay women and men, to attest to the value of every human life. And we need your hands and your hearts and your education to show the merciful compassion of Jesus Christ. As Catholic healthcare professionals, the Lord is inviting you to care for his people, to humbly use the knowledge and skill and intellectual gifts you've been given, to remind us that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it's so important to keep in mind that human life is not the ultimate good. Now, as Christians, we know clearly that human life is terminal. We're all going to die. We know through God's revelation that the goal of life is union with him for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. I ask that those of you present here and those you know to be a people of humble prayer. Again, with your own struggles and doubts, and all of us here at Mass today in the Church of Eastern Washington, we are blessed that our patroness is our Blessed Mother, who leads us always closer to her Son, Jesus. So as we continue in our Mass today, you and I are invited to treasure the gift of faith, even if it seems weak, and even as so many of our young people are searching, but God willing are seeking with a sincere heart. Faith does make a difference in the way we view our life, and it makes it possible for us to carry a cross that might otherwise overwhelm us. It's never a question of faith or no faith. The question is, in what or whom do I put my faith? Possessions or power? People or God? People of faith believe that every person matters and that God takes small things and makes them great. That is a message we hear especially in the month of October, known as Respect Life Month. And let each of us pray today and every day, Lord, increase our faith.